The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
I'm sitting on a stool this morning because I did my weekend warrior workout yesterday. So for me, that involves about 2 push-ups and walking around the block so I can go back and have some ice cream. So that was really kind of hard on my body, and my back's a little bit tight, so... that's why I'm sitting here this morning. So, that's where we're at. So we are going to be in Romans chapter 8 this morning. And as we get started this morning, I'm just very thankful for what God has put in place for us as a body to be able to go through God's word together. Isn't that an incredible thing? So what we are doing here is not just giving you information so you can be a better person. What we are doing here is studying God's word together so that we can be a community, so that we can be a family, so that we can learn how to walk in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the mindset of the Holy Spirit, that we can honor God not just as individuals, but that we can honor God as a community, that we would be the kind of people that others would look at and say, God must be there, and I want to see that. I want to be a part of that. So it's really, really incredible. God does that through community. He does that through you and me as we study together and live our lives together. So my hope today is not that you receive an education, all right? In our country, we are very much into academics, aren't we? We're into a lot of head knowledge. But that is not what our purpose is here today. And I don't want to give you a false sense of what to expect. I want you to be on the same page with me today. So my desire and my goal is that something that I relate to you through my experience and through what God is teaching me through his word, that his spirit will take and work in you and move in you. Even though you're a different person than me, and you have different experiences than me, and you have a different personality, and you have a different way of seeing things, we have a common enough experience as being dudes and dudettes on this planet, right, that God can take my experience, and his Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. And his Holy Spirit knows exactly how to minister to you right now. What you've been thinking about, what you've been dwelling on, God's Holy Spirit knows that. And I don't know that, but yet he can plant something in me or use something that I say to work and minister his truth in your life. Is that, that is so cool. Is that not an amazing God? Is that not a powerful God that can do that in our lives? Man, that's crazy. What kind of being can do that? What kind of God can do that? So my prayer then is that we are all responding to the Holy Spirit's leading, that we are allowing the Spirit to move in us, that we are allowing the Spirit to work in our minds and help us recognize what he wants to teach us, that ultimately we would hear God's voice and recognize God's voice in our lives and what he wants to teach us. He knows you apart from everyone else in this room. He knows exactly what you're going through and what you've been going through. And he knows exactly how to minister to you this morning. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Yes, that is our common experience, isn't it? So then the only question is, for me and for you, is will we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us that he wants to do? Right? That's the crazy thing, is that we can actually put the brakes on the Holy Spirit. Right? We can actually stop him. We can choose not to allow him to do in us what he wants to do. Let's not do that, right? Do you agree? That's not what we want to do. We want to experience the fullness and the abundance of life that God has for us. Not an easy life, but the abundant life that God has for us in Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to allow his Spirit to move and work in us the way that he wants to. So that's where I'm coming from this morning. Are you good with that?
Yep.
All right. So let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you put your Spirit in us to lead us to truth, to help us to recognize truth, to help us to recognize your voice and what you want to do in us. God, you are so incredible that the creator of the universe, the all-powerful creator of the universe, that is too incredible to comprehend, that is too big, that is too expansive. Your power and your authority and your greatness is something that our limited minds can't understand. But yet you choose to work in each one of us individually. You know us so specifically, and you know exactly what we need, when we need it, and before we can even ask. And even if we don't ask, you still know exactly what we need. God, you are incredible, and you are so faithful to us because you keep doing it over and over and over again. So we thank you for who you are, and Lord, we pray that you would help us to submit to your leading in our lives, that we would look to you, that we would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and that we would allow the Holy Spirit to work and move, that we would make our minds an environment where the Holy Spirit can move and point us and grow us in truth. So, Lord, we trust you this morning. We trust that you are going to do that in us and that you are going to do that through your Spirit here this morning. So, Lord, help us respond to you. Help us to say, yes, Lord, we're listening. And yes, Lord, we are humble before you. And we want to do what you tell us to do. Lord, thank you so much. You are so incredibly faithful. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, last month, I went through Colossians 2. That's still on YouTube if you haven't seen it yet. I think there's still copies available, right? You can still get on there and see that. Get that copies available. That's okay. All right, that just went right over the head. So when I was looking through and studying through Colossians chapter 2, one of the things that really hit me was how we can allow false teaching and how we can actually allow error in our minds. We can choose to follow error in our lives. That actually cheats us. It actually robs us of the abundant life that is in Christ. So in Colossians 2, 6 through 8, it says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive." So that's the idea that we can actually be taken captive, or the way my New King James Version says, let no one cheat you. It's the idea that someone can enslave you, and that you can willingly enslave yourself to false teaching. So let no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than on Christ. So that kind of put me on this path where I'm like, God, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be submitted. I don't want to submit myself to false teaching. I don't want to submit myself to bondage that keeps me from living that full and abundant life that I have in you. And so it took me kind of on a journey to kind of then go through Galatians. Now, that is a rip-roaring book. I love the book of Galatians. Paul is very, very emphatic about the way we live our lives as Christians in being people that are led by faith and are led by the Holy Spirit. And then to make things a little bit lighter, easier on myself, I decided to start going through Romans. All right? So I've been on this journey, and it's kind of been renewing something in me that has kind of been bubbling up inside of me for a lot of years, and it's just this idea of how we live a life of faith before God. There's a lot of opinions on how to do it, but there's only one opinion that really matters, right? And that's God's opinion. And then the other thing that's really been hitting me over the last probably two and a half, three years is that this is all done in the context of community. So, like as I said earlier, when we read these scriptures and we read about how to live the abundant Christian life, that's not just so I can go over here in the corner and do that by myself. In fact, one of the key ingredients to be able to live that full, abundant life is that I do it with other people, right? That you and I, that we are seeking that not only in our own lives, but we're seeking that corporately, together, as a group. And let me tell you, that's not natural for me. That's been, and when I'm speaking out of weakness here, because I don't have this down by any means, and I am struggling through what it means to be a community, how to really love one another as Christ loved his church, and how we live that out with each other. So I freely confess to you that I am completely working this out as we go in my own mind, because it's not natural for me. I like to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and in my time frame and in my time schedule. And you can get in the way of that. Right? So that's no good for me, right? So that's why I struggle with community. But see, as I even describe that, who am I focusing on? Yeah, I'm focusing on me. I'm basically saying that I am God and you need to conform to me rather than me recognizing that I need to submit to God, and his love for me as demonstrated in Christ means then I need to demonstrate that love to you all messy people, right? And you need to display that love to this messy person, right? And it's difficult. It's a hot mess, right, Aaron? That's kind of been the theme at our small group, is everybody's a hot mess. And so, again, this is all in the context of community. Never think that this is just for you to go home and do by yourself in your prayer closet. That's not scriptural. That's not the New Testament church. There is time to be alone, and that is a good thing, but the application of it, I believe so strongly, and I'm believing that more and more, is in the context of our lives together as a church, as a body, as God's family. So as we go through that, that's the context, is we're doing this together, and we bring glory to God by the way that we do it together. So that Colossians 2, 6 through 8, again, be careful. No one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deceit based on human tradition or based on the elements of this world rather than Christ. But in verse 6 and 7, he really gives us the antidote right for that, right? How to keep that from happening is that just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, how did we receive him? How did we receive him? By faith. Right? By faith through grace alone, we received and we believed when we heard the message that Christ died for us. When God said that Jesus Christ is the vehicle for you to be made right with me, his sacrifice on the cross, if you believe that, and not just if you believe it, but it becomes who you are, right? It becomes not just the knowledge of something, it becomes what you build your life upon. If you do that, you are made right before me, a holy God, right? So when we made that decision in our lives, something radical happened in us. But that's not just a one-time experience, right? That is something then that we continue to live in moment by moment and day by day, that I get up and I recognize that Jesus Christ paid for my sin. And I owe him something. I owe him a debt that I can never, ever repay. And in my mind, in my flesh, I think that I can somehow do enough to repay him for that. And that's where Christians get into trouble, right? We come to him by faith, but then we think we can work out this faith in our own power or in our own strength. It don't work that way. Right? The proper way to say is, I know it doesn't work that way, but I see I said don't, said doesn't for effect, so okay, so you get that. Okay? It doesn't work that way. Okay? So we receive Christ by faith, and then we walk by faith in him every day. So just as we started, we continue to live. Okay? This is how Paul says it in Galatians 2:20. To 21, I have been crucified with Christ. Like, you could probably quote this verse with me, right? I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. If there is something that we can do to make ourselves holy before God, if you believe that, you are wasting your time. You are not only wasting your time, you're putting yourself back under the bondage of sin that you were under before Christ. Okay? I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And then this is how Paul goes on in Galatians 3:1-5. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing," that's the faith, "or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish?" And we could ask ourselves that same question. Are we so foolish that after beginning by the Spirit, are we now finishing by the flesh? After beginning in the Spirit, do we think that we can live this Christian life, that we can somehow be righteous before God in and of our own strength and our own power? He says in verse 4 there, did you experience so much for nothing? In fact, I lost my place here. Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does Christ give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or is it by believing what you heard? When you think back to the biggest times where God has impacted you in your life, was it because you did something? Was it because you did some great, awesome work for God? Or was it a simple belief that God ministered in you and grew you and challenged in you so that you could see him a little more clearly? And then finally, Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. We are free. Woo, yes, right? That's good. We are free. And we are free to pursue the Creator God that made us. He's the one that gave us the opportunity for life. So only in him do we find what the abundant life is all about. So don't put yourself back under that bondage. That's what we ran from when we ran to Jesus. When we repented and we turned away from our sin and our bondage, we turned to Jesus. So let's not repent from Jesus and turn away from it. Let's stay on that course of continuing in how we began, which is by faith. We could stop right there, couldn't we? Okay, the bad news is that's just the introduction. All right, so let's go to Romans chapter 8. So as we get into Romans chapter 8, the thinking that I've gone through here is, so the vehicle of faith that God has provided for us is his Holy Spirit. And so that's why I want to talk through this chapter here this morning and kind of discover it together. And again, I want to be fully upfront that I am kind of discovering this as we go. So I might say something that's a little bit off, and if so, let's talk about it and search the scriptures together and figure out what God wants of us. So I'm going to go ahead and read these verses. Chapter 8, we're going to cover verses 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, and that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So in our last few minutes that we have together, I just want to kind of go through and just share with you some of the things in this passage that really connected with me, or that God is really working in me. So in the first four verses, the thing that strikes me there is that there is hope. Every one of us has been at the end of our rope, right? Every one of us has been at that situation in our lives where we just don't know what to do or how to deal with this. And the incredible thing is that there is hope. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All of the things that condemn us, the written requirements, the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, that law that points out to us what we've done wrong, the law that demands perfection, has been absolutely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the only one that could do that. Only a perfect God could satisfy the perfect requirement of the law. And if you are in him, you are no longer condemned. Yes, right? That's a good thing. We are no longer condemned. Not because we've done anything great, but because we have humbled ourselves before a holy and righteous God and said, yes, I recognize that the penalty for my sin was paid by Jesus on the cross. I recognize, God, that you did for me what I could not do for myself. If left to my own devices, I will try 160 million freaky ways to try to make it right, and all of them will fall short. Only God could make the sacrifice for my sin. Only a perfect sacrifice could pay for my sin. So there is hope for us, because our hope is not in ourselves, right? Our hope is in the one who did that, the perfect God that sacrificed for us and that wants to continue to minister to us through his Holy Spirit. And then this is like outrageous to me. Like, he doesn't just stop with saving me from my sin and giving me a pass to heaven. Like, this God wants to continue working in my life. Like, he wants to continue to have enough love for me that I grow and I mature in him. I mean, why would he want to put that kind of effort into it? Why would he want to? I mean, do you know me? Do you know the kind of work that he has to do in me to get me where he needs me to be? I have a feeling that you might be in the same boat, too. All right? But he wants to continue to minister his grace in us. He wants to continue to minister his truth in us. And the vehicle for that is his Holy Spirit. There is hope for us, right? When we humble ourselves before him and allow his Spirit to move in us. So in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So this is where I got my catchy title. Can you see that? Where is your head? right? You could say that a couple different ways, like, where is your head? Or like, where is your head? Right? But this is kind of something that you can take. You can use this if you want to. But the key that God has been working through in me, that the key to living according to the Holy Spirit is where my mind is. Right? I think I've often had a misconception of like what the Holy Spirit's role really is and how we follow the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of that is because we see televangelists on TV, right? You get slain in the Spirit or you some other miracle or whatever it is, and it seems like this miraculous, mystical thing that happens with the Holy Spirit. But that's not really in this passage. It's really about where we put our minds. For if we put our minds on earthly things, on fleshly things, what are our lives going to be about? Those things, right? And if I can focus my mind, if I can turn my mind towards the things of a spiritual nature, if I can turn my mind to things that are important to God and learn what's important to Him, and I can focus on those types of things, then I'm able to continue on that path of living in the Spirit. So to be earthly minded is death. Okay, we talked about that. There is no good thing in allowing your fleshly wants and mind to dictate what your life is about. It ends in destruction. But again, there is hope, because in verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now that verse could also read, since the Spirit of God lives in you. It's not a question if, does the Spirit live in you? No, it's saying since. It's a conclusion that Paul is making, that the Holy Spirit is in you. If you want other texts to cross-reference that, you can look through these verses here. But it is a done deal. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, in him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So he puts his Spirit in us to minister to us, to point us to him. And Christ is in you, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is that cool thing that we're talking about. Who other than God could make life out of something dead? Anybody? No one. And there's a theme here, right? That is the power of the resurrection in verse 11. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. God can bring life out of nothing, right? He did it in creation. He does it in our lives. He did it with the resurrection of Jesus. Only God could conquer death because he's the author of life. And he can do that in us. Like, we don't have to wait for a future time. He starts doing that in us immediately after we turn to him. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So in our flesh, we think that we can somehow still do it in our own power, right? I mean, the flesh is still in me. That body of death is still in me that I think I can somehow be God, right? I can still deceive myself. But if I do that, what does it produce in my life? It produces death. I don't know about you, but I don't want death. I don't want death in my life. I want to live a life through the Holy Spirit that brings glory and honor to him, because that is where life is found. And then verse 14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So remember, this is where we get back to the community aspect of this, right? We are the family of God. And if you have named the name of Jesus in your life, you are led by the Spirit of God. Like, Paul doesn't seem to make a distinction here between a salvation experience and a life in the Spirit. I sometimes make that distinction in my mind, but I'm questioning that. As I read this through, Paul seems to be assuming that if I am in Christ, then I am living in the Spirit. Okay? I know that can take our minds a bunch of different theological places, but as I just simply read through this passage, he doesn't seem to distinguish that. They seem to be one and the same. I am in Christ. I am in life in the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We can actually call the creator of all we see, we can call him Dad. That's another thing that's really cool. It's like there's all this kind of cool stuff in the Bible everywhere you read, right? This is good stuff. And this Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You are my brothers and sisters, and I am your brother. And that's why it's so important that we learn this together, that we are a family unit. And I'm not just talking Foundation Life Bible Church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I did not spend much time, but that just jumped off the page at me. Joint heirs with Christ. I spent no time studying that or thinking about that, but that just leapt off the page at me, that we are joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Christ is in this with us. He is shoulder to shoulder and arm in arm in this with us, and he puts his spirit in us to lead us to truth. So, that's a quick synopsis of Romans 8:5-17. And when I got to this point in my study notes, I'm like, okay, I have to come up with a really clever conclusion, right? To bring this all together, like really bring it home. I got to have something that just nails it, right? And then God said, you can't. You can't, Jeff. It's not about your presentation. Are you not paying attention to what I'm saying you hear? It's through my spirit. You can't grow people. The Holy Spirit grows people. And if you think that you can do something catchy or cool that will just bring it home for people, then you are trying to take my place in working in the lives of your brothers and sisters. It is the Spirit's work that moves and works in us. It is his spirit that guides us and leads us to truth. All I can do is tell you what the Bible is doing in me and what has been working in me. And I can give you some principles. Like, I think an important principle is that being led by the Spirit is about where we place our minds, right? The way that you do that might be completely different than the way that I do that. An example of that is I brought my Sunday notebook. I don't know if you can see this. See how everything's just kind of right, very neatly, methodically, kind of written down? If you only do your notes this way, you could be a Christian as spiritual as me. Are you getting this? Like, all right, Cindy, you won't see this on TV, but Cindy, hold up your notebook, okay? I don't know if you can see that, but it is much different than mine. Like, someday she'll mature to be, like, but You know that was a joke, dear. All right. But the point is, did you see how different that looked? She has like nice calligraphy, and if you turn through the pages, she's got like different colors. Like that's how she sets her mind on God. As we're going through the word together, she doesn't do it by writing down bullet points like I do. She like turns her page different ways and does colors and does calligraphy, and that's what sets her mind on the Lord. Some of you might not even take notes. That's cool too. You're different. And there is a way that God will minister to you if you learn how in your person you set your mind on him. So the principle we have is that we set our minds on the truth of Scripture. We need to understand that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Like every single one of us, if we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And then to understand that we live by the Spirit. And that it'll be messy. And we've got to figure out how this works, right? Like, because if you relate to God a different way than I relate to God, then if my way is right, then what does that say about you? Right? Or if your way is right and my way is wrong, then what does that say about me? Okay? And I'm not saying this is, and remember, this is all grounded in Scripture, right? This is all grounded in the Word of God. So we have an incredible freedom to pursue God. We have incredible freedom to be who we are before God and relate to him the way that he has made us to relate to him. And all of us are so different that it takes all of us to appropriately relate to God. Because all of those different characteristics that we have are actually a reflection of our Creator. And it takes all of us to have all of those characteristics to be a true reflection of God. Are you feeling what I'm putting down here? Okay, good. Well, I just want to thank you so much. You people are great. I love you guys so much. This is just incredible that you would let me share with you what God's word is doing in me. And I hope that his Spirit has been here with us, that as we put his word in his mind, that it just kind of creates this soil that he has to work from, right? The psalmist says, your word, help me with this. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? Is that close enough? It's not that there's some magical power of memorizing Scripture, but what it does is it put things in our mind that the Holy Spirit can then use and minister to. If you ever are reading the Bible and you feel like, I'm just not getting anything out of this, just keep reading. Because what you're doing is you're putting material in your brain that the Holy Spirit, which we are setting our minds on, right? We're setting our mind on spiritual things. You're putting material in your brain that the Holy Spirit can then take and use it in your life. If you don't put that truth, if we don't put that truth in our brains, then we are limiting the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right, that's all I got. What do you think, church? Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for ministering to us through your word. Lord, I continue to help us look to you moment by moment and day by day. Lord, that we would have the strongest desire to run to you in all of life's circumstances. Lord, we believe that you are the author of life and that life can only be found in you. So, Lord, help us to pursue you with all of the life that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this group of people. I pray that you just minister your word in our lives and that we would see the blessing of your word in our lives, that we would, again, run to you in everything, Lord, and that this church, that this group of people would be one that people would say, God is working there, that we would be a community that reflects you, and that we would point people to you, Lord. thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, God. You are so very good to us, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.